Good morning. We're kind of in this weird place from a preaching standpoint. We're always this between Thanksgiving and Christmas is always just kind of the kind of a weird time to figure out what we want to talk about. And back earlier this summer, the fall, the staff went away on kind of a little bit of retreat for a day, and we did some things. We looked at Ecclesiastes 3. And it helped us kind of get to know each other a little bit better as we talked about some of the various seasons that happen in our life. And I appreciate the beautiful song that the group did at the beginning of the service. And maybe you're familiar with it. It reminds us that life has these different seasons, these times. Now, when we think about Solomon, who wrote it, Solomon was David's son, King David, one of the greatest king that Israel had ever had until Jesus showed up. And Solomon was given a choice as he's getting ready to ascend the throne and said, what do you want? You want power? You want riches? Or you want wisdom? What do you want? And he said, give me wisdom. And so he got it. And I think a lot of the way that he used that wisdom is that Solomon would look at life. He would observe. He was a great observer of how people interacted and what was happening and how they responded to it. And I think some of that stuff kind of made him a little cynical at times, but he was also able to see and help us appreciate some of the rhythms that life has. And so we look at that when we look at this passage here. So let's go into it, and then let's talk about it. He begins in verse 1. He says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Now, as we go through this list, it'd be tempting to kind of break each and every part of it out and say, well, that corresponds to this, and this is about that. But ultimately, what this is poetry. It was a writing form that the people of that time often used to get people to know and understand and remember things. And I think the great benefit is to just kind of look at this as a whole, and what you're going to see is he's going to say, he's kind of contrast and compare the opposites to give us a sense of the rhythms that life can have. And he says this, there is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to tear down and a time to build. I'm sorry, I missed one. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. And a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. And as you look through that passage, we can begin to ask ourselves, well, what season of life am I in right now? What are its characteristics? What are its qualities? Some of you, you're in that planting season, that growth season. You're in that young part of life. You've got the sun at your back, and you just have endless possibilities in front of you. Lots of opportunities, and you're trying to pick out which one, which path will I go down? But you have several paths. Some of you have entered that season of life. The sun hasn't set, but it's setting. And the paths have kind of narrowed down to one. Some of you, you're at that age where you roll out of bed and you just go. Some of you just kind of fall out of bed and you're like the Tin Man. You're waiting for someone to come along and give you some oil in your joints and get you moving again. We all have these various aspects of life that are a part of this. Now, here's something I've had to kind of figure out in these seasons of life. And one is that I don't control the seasons. And you don't either. If I had my way, winter would begin December 24th, have about 6 inches of snow, and it would end on December 26th when it would all melt away. A nice white Christmas, and let's move on. You know, back home in California, you know what we would call a beautiful day like we have here today, though with frost on everything? And so, you know what we would call this? Blizzard. I have relatives still back home, you know, and it gets down to 60 and they're breaking out the parkas and they're freaking out over it. But here's the thing, you and I can't control these seasons that come every year, can we? We can't stop it at all. If I could, I'd bring out that warm weather from California that I grew up with and is out there and say, let's have 75 degrees all year long. Wouldn't that be nice? But we can't control it. We have no power over it. But what we can do is control our response to the seasons that come to us. You can temper your expectations. I don't expect 80 degrees in January. Might happen, might have one of those fluke things, but I don't expect it to happen. And I don't expect snow in July. Could get a freak storm, it could happen, but I don't expect it. I don't wear shorts and t-shirt when it's 20 below out. And I don't wear a parka when it's 90 degrees out. I had no control over my birth. I have little control or say over my death. I don't often get to pick the times when I'll weep or when I'll laugh. When it comes to war and peace, most of us live at the whims of the powerful. But what I do have control over is how I will respond to the circumstances that are beyond my control. I can control my attitude. I can control my actions, my thoughts. I can look to God, or I can look away. I can still choose to love when others choose to hate. I can choose to be an agent of peace when others choose war. I can choose to heal when others choose to harm. I can choose hope, or I can choose despair. Maybe you became familiar recently with the story of Desmond Doss. During World War II, he volunteered to serve, but his beliefs were such that he did not want to carry a gun. He did not want to kill, but he still wanted to serve. And so he became a medic. And in Okinawa, he saved numerous lives over and over again because he chose to bring healing in the midst of death and destruction. And you and I have these same types of choices that we can make. So we don't control the seasons, but we do control our responses. And when considering these various seasons of life, I need to keep in mind this, and that is that every season often has a purpose. Spring allows for planting. Summer allows for growing. Fall for harvesting. And winter allows for resting. And we might not like all these four seasons, but you can see how each one plays an important part. And each one brings its own specific benefits to its locale. But a disruption of those benefits of one season can impact the other. Out in the Sierra Nevadas, if they don't get enough snow and doesn't build up and get a good snowpack, like they did for a number of years, then eventually they get into drought. That they have learned to rely on the snow melting and coming down and using that to plant. But a disruption here causes a disruption later. But we can see that even in the midst of some of the painful stuff in life, God can still somehow use it. He may not be the one who causes it, but he can still somehow use it. Now, that's not to say that everything that we go through, every pain, is something that we're supposed to, that God has caused for his purposes. There are some untimely tragedies and accidents and even deaths that come into this world because we live in a fallen and broken world where sin and disease and death still have an impact. that doesn't mean that God caused each and every one of those things. And so we need to be careful about trying to ascribe purpose to so many painful things that can come our way. But we can still learn. Because one of the things that we can see is that every season has both its pain and its joy. Think for a moment, fall is a great time. We have the color on the trees. We often have low humidity, and we have bright, clear days like we've had the last couple days. But it can also be a time of cold rain and gusty winds. In 1958, on June 7th, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald was christened and became a Great Lakes freighter. And for almost a couple decades, toted iron ore around that region. But on November 10th, the ship was headed from Superior, Wisconsin to Detroit, Michigan, when it was hit with near hurricane force winds and waves over 35 feet high. And they don't know exactly what happened, but the ship sank in Lake Superior with the loss of the entire crew of 29. You may be familiar with the song that made that wreck famous. But here's the thing, the winds of that type of storm were not unheard of, were not unexpected, but it still caught them off guard. So winter can bring the beauty of white on the snows of snow on the landscape, but it can also bring blizzards. Many people still talk about the 1978 blizzard that hit this area. And let me tell you, it's been about, what, 40 years? It's time to get over it, folks. Time to move on. In the winter of 1887 and 1888 in Minnesota was extremely, extremely hard. It began with several feet of snow in December, and it was followed by a sleet storm on January 5th that covered the region in what was called treacherous ice. And it kept people inside for a long period, except for some essential chores that they had to do. But otherwise, they had to stay inside. And so people began to get a little stir-crazy like you do when you have weather like that, and they wanted to get outside. So finally, on January 12th, the weather breaks, the snow begins, and ice began to melt, and people got out, and kids were able to go back to school. Yay, school! But later that day, a blizzard swept in, and between 250 and 500 people were killed. Some that very day, and some with lingering effects from the blizzard. Many of the victims were children trying to get home from school and were caught in the storm. So winter can have its beauty, but it can also have its painful consequences. Spring can bring relief from winter with warmer temps and blossoming plant life, and you just see that color again, and you're reminded that there's hope of warmer weather. But then we know it can also bring deadly tornadoes. And summer brings weather for being outdoors, but heat waves can also claim life. So we see this pain and this joy that comes with each and every season. And I found in my own life that some of the most painful times that I've ever had somehow, though, brought some of the most personal and spiritual growth that I've experienced. So I understand that there's pain and the joy, but there's also somehow God can use these things. Listen to what Paul has to say about the painful seasons of life. He says, "We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Now, it can be very hard to see that when you are in the midst of a painful season. It's hard to see that something good might still come. But it is a promise that we can cling to. Now, one thing I've learned is to be very wary about, or leery about, asking the question, why? Why this pain? Why this loss? Well, sometimes the answer why is because I made a dumb choice. You know, oftentimes we might find ourselves in debt. What happened there? Well, we spent more than we made. Or if we made a bunch of bad choices about our health over the years and finally catches up with us. And we can make a connection between a bad choice that we make and the pain that we're in. Years ago, when I was a kid, I was fixing the basketball hoop on a garage, like you typically do. And I was up there, and I was trying to tighten some things down, and we had an extension ladder. Well, I should call it. We had half of an extension ladder. It was my grandfather's, and for some reason, it got split up, and one part of the family got one half, and we got the other half. I don't understand these things, but... So... One thing, so I had this one half of the extension ladder, and what it had was a space that was missing that the other half of the ladder would give you that step. And this was making a gap. And so I had it down here at the bottom, and you know, every time I was having to step high to get up there, and I thought, you know, this is unsafe. This is really unsafe. So I took it, and I flipped it over so that space would be right there at the edge of the roof. Brilliant, right? Smart move on my part. What I didn't notice was that what had been at the top of the ladder were these smooth plastic ends that were now on the bottom. Do you see where we're going here? So I went up and down the ladder a few times, and one time I went to step on it. As I went down, that ladder just shot out. And down I went and landed on my arm and broke it. Now, why did this happen? Because I did something dumb. Seventh grade. My dad and I were I delivered newspapers, and once a week you had to deliver to every house that was on your route. And it took a long time. So my dad was helping me with the car, and we were going along. And one time I decided to jump on the back of the trunk and ride for a little bit. Problem was, my dad didn't know it. And he went a little faster. And boom, down I went. Got a concussion. Why does this happen to me? Because I made a dumb decision. So sometimes we do dumb things that get us into trouble. But then there are things that we had no control over. Illnesses that maybe they're tucked away in our genetics somewhere. For some reason, it just is us. And at that time, you can't ask why and get a good answer. But here's what I have learned. What I try to remember, that God is a redeemer. He can bring beauty from ashes. He can still bring good from someone's evil. He can help me find the meaning in a meaningless world that I sometimes experience. He can still help me find some joy in the midst of pain. He's a redeemer. And though he may not have caused this issue, he can still be at work in that season. So let's get personal just for a moment. And I want you to think for a moment, be reflective if you would. But what season are you in right now? Maybe you're in a time of birth, of renewal, of love, dancing, embracing, building, of healing, of harvest and peace. You're kind of like Emily, you're exciting opportunities that lie before her. Or maybe you find yourself in a season of loss, of tearing, of war, of mourning. Maybe it's just a joyous season, a new job that you love, a new addition to your family, a renewed relationship with God. You're just excited. It's a great time to be alive. Or maybe you find yourself in the grip of grief. And there's just a heavy weight on your chest every single day. You may be familiar with C.S. Lewis, one of the great writers and apologists for the Christian faith. He married very late in life. But was only married for 4 years when his wife, Joy, died of cancer. And he documented this grief. And he wrote this. He said, "No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear. I am not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness, the yawning. I keep on swallowing. At other times, it feels like being mildly drunk or concussed. There is a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. I find it hard to take in what someone says, or perhaps hard to want to take it in. It is so uninteresting. Yet I want the others to be about me. I dread the moments when the house is empty. If only they would talk to one another and not to me. And then he also said, her absence is like the sky, spreading over everything. Maybe that's your season right now. Or perhaps your season is neither. It's not, you're not in this giddy place where everything is great. You're not down here just feeling the loss and the grief. You're just in kind of a static place that's okay. A rare season of consistent normality. One of the things that we need to remember as we transition toward Christmas season is that this is a great season for many people. It's a lot of fun. But for some, it is incredibly painful and lonely. And if you know someone like that, keep them in your prayers. Let me encourage you to reach out to them. Invite them to be a part. Remind them that they are not forgotten, because they can feel that way so very much. But whatever the season that you're in, keep in mind this, that a good season does not mean that you have been more blessed than anyone else. And a harsh season does not mean you have been cursed and abandoned. And this is what we take from Solomon's writings here, is that life is going to have its various times, its various seasons. Enjoy the good season while it lasts, because there's a chance it's going to change. And when you're in the midst of that painful season, know that it will pass too. The normality of life is that it has its good moments and its bad moments. It's easy and it's hard. It's ups and it's downs. And we should not expect otherwise this side of heaven. And remember this, that seasons change. There is no endless summer, and winter eventually releases its icy grip. Honeymoon's in, and sorrow diminishes. Solomon gives us this charge with all that in mind. He writes, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And he wraps it up with this, I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. But I think his encouragement is, in the midst of whatever season that you are in, seek to do good. Seek to do the best you can. Maybe that means just one foot in front of the other. I'm always intrigued by stories of survival. And one such story took place on Mount Everest a number of years ago when a number of people were climbing. There was quite a bit of touristy type climbers getting up there, and there was a bit of a traffic jam, and a lot of people didn't get to the top until late, and then a storm hit, and a lot of people were trying to make their way down, and a number of people just couldn't. One man, at one point, after he had climbed down a difficult place, collapsed. His friends that were with him, the people, climbing partners, assumed he was dead. They couldn't get any response from him. And at that height on Everest, if you die, you're left. Even if you're well, if you can't move, there's not a lot of hope for you. So they moved on. Well, after a little time, he revived. He was able to stand up and go a little bit, and then he fell. He stood back up, went a little bit, and then he fell. And he determined in his own mind that no matter what, he was going to get up. As long as he could get up, he would get up, even if he fell again. And he would get back up until he could not get up any longer. And he just did that over and over again until he got to the first set of tents that he could reach. Whatever season you're in, let me encourage you that you may need to just keep getting up, putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep moving forward. Look for the joys. Look for the love. Keep moving forward. Apostle Paul talked about a thorn in his flesh. And he asked God to remove it three times. He was going through a painful season. And three times he said, Lord, will you take it away? And the answer that he received was, his grace is sufficient for me. And we need to remember that no matter the season, that his grace is sufficient for us. I love Psalm 23 that it reminds us that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. When we have green grasses, it's because he led us there. If we have deep, cool water to drink from, it's because he got us there. And he can prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies, whatever that enemy might be. The hope of that passage is that God is with us, whatever the season. And if he is with us, his grace is with us. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment as a part of our invitation. And a part of its word, speaking about grace, is this. It's there in a newborn cry. There in the light of every sunrise. There in the shadows of this life. It's there on the mountaintop. And there in the everyday, on the mundane. There in the sorrow and the dancing. We stand and we walk by faith in God's grace. Many of you in this room, you have claimed that grace for yourself. You have accepted what God wants to do for you and in you and through you. Some of you may be checking this thing out, but you haven't made a commitment yet. You haven't said, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. But if that's changing this morning, we invite you to come and call in the name of Jesus, be immersed into the waters of baptism. But right now, also, if you're just in a season of joy, of peace, let me encourage you, give thanks to God. Give him the praise, give him the glory. Tell him thank you. Don't take it for granted. But if you are in a season of pain right now, of loss, if you're in a fog and you just don't know to go forward or backwards or what you're supposed to do, and you need direction, you need clarity, or you just need to be reminded that you are not alone in the midst of that fog, we invite you. If you want to come up here and pray, you can do so. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If you just need a moment. But I want you to be reminded as you leave here this morning, you'll have your good seasons, your bad seasons, but in all the seasons, God is available to you. He's just waiting for you to welcome him into your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and a chance to look at your word and to see that we experience a life here on earth that has beauty and has danger. It has peace and it has conflict. It has pleasure and it has pain. This side of heaven, we need to just beware that those seasons are going to change. But you can guide us. You can be with us. You can help us to make the most of any season that we're in. So, Father, may your Spirit nudge each one of us toward a truth we need to accept, a decision we need to make. Speak to us, Father, through your word and through your still small voice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.